This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. In a few minutes, a dad's mistake shapes a son's life. It's a different kind of Father's Day story, but first.
The illegal bugging apparently was one of aim of a team which broke into the Democratic National Headquarters in Washington during the weekend.
Walter Cronkite reporting on the 1972 break-in at the Watergate office complex. That little break-in, of course, led to the demise of a president. It happened 35 years ago this weekend.
But before the Watergate became synonymous with scandal, it was known for cutting-edge luxury living. NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates has this report.
Back in 1965, a set of curvy buildings rose up on an oddly shaped chunk of waterfront property in Washington, D.C. There hadn't been much there before except a homey little restaurant called the Watergate Inn and another establishment.
In the early days, at the end of the street, there was a horse stable.
Henry Winston is a veteran Washington realtor and the original leasing agent for the Watergate complex. In fact, it was he who leased Suite 610 to the Democratic National Committee. His firm, Winston & Winston, still handles the vast majority of Watergate properties. Initially, Mr. Winston says, people were drawn to the poured concrete buildings ringed with balconies because even though there wasn't much in the neighborhood, the Watergate complex was close to everything.
Of course, the ease to get to different places is very big. People going into the airport just love it.
Sally Quinn is a Washington Post reporter and Newsweek columnist and a former Watergate resident. She says the mixed-use complex offered an unprecedented lifestyle for D.C.'s well-heeled urbanites.
There were lots of apartment buildings, but they were all these very old pre-war, high-ceiling, you know, like New York-style apartment buildings. And so this was a completely new kind of way of living for people in this city.
In addition to the offices and luxury apartments, the first floors of the complex housed several businesses and chic boutiques. At the Watergate, you could buy groceries for your dinner party, purchase a dress to wear that night from Gucci or Yves Saint Laurent, have your hair done, and never leave the building. Henry Winston's wife, Tina, says from the beginning, the Watergate apartments housed a lot of Washington's elite, from powerhouse politicians to the owner of the Washington Redskins.
John Warner, Ed Brooks, Jacob Javits, Jack N. Cook, Senator Dole and his wife, Elizabeth.
Bob Dole moved into the complex in 1972. He was a junior senator from Kansas and newly divorced from his first wife. Though Dole was considered an eligible bachelor, most of his time would be taken up with the Watergate hearings that started a year later. One of Dole's neighbors back then was Sally Quinn. She lived in the Watergate with Ben Bradley, the legendary editor of the Washington Post. The couple often ran into Dole and his dates. Quinn is now Mrs. Bradley. She recalls that the senator was always friendly when they saw him, even though they knew he was unhappy with the Post's reporting on the growing scandal.
We would ride up and down the elevator, hi, Bob, hi, Ben, hi, Leslie, hi, Sally. And then, then we'd go inside and turn on the TV, and there would be Bob Dole saying, the Washington Post is a bunch of traitors.
After the break-in, the name Watergate morphed from a prestigious address to shorthand for all kinds of political scandals in the following years. Sally Quinn.
Now, I mean, everything is called something Gate, you know, whether it was Monica Gate or whatever. It's become part of our language.
Ironically, there is a Watergate connection with the intern whose sexcapade with Bill Clinton led to the only presidential impeachment in modern history. Monica Lewinsky hid out in her mother's Watergate apartment next door to the Doles while the press pursued her. Here she's trying to have dinner out.
Everybody get a picture.
Hey, take it back.
Lewinsky often used a network of connecting corridors to slip out of the building's back door or down to the garage to avoid scenes like that. Despite the scandals of both political parties through the years, the Watergate's cachet has remained constant. Tina Winston says one thing has changed since the 70s, though. The balcony views of the Virginia skyline.
Of course, when it was built at the beginning, there were very few buildings. Now, if you look at night, it looks like a small Manhattan.
From the sidewalk, looking at the Watergate in bright daylight, you'll see a series of buildings that resemble a lot of middle-aged people. Still striking from a distance, a little faded up close, with a complicated history that continues to intrigue. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.